A vision. A vision, according to Webster, is this: something seen clearly by something other than normal or natural sight. When used in the scriptures, then, vision is something we see by faith. That faith, applied in the case of the child of God, is in His Word. In His spoken Word, in His written Word, and in His living Word. Written. Open the first chapter of the Bible. You'll see in these first two chapters in particular, God's spoken word. In the creation of this universe, over and over and over, we read, "And God said." And God said. And God said. And when God spoke, it, whatever it was, became. Isn't that amazing?
Yes, sir.
God speaks and things become. Think about that. The written word, holy book itself, the book many of us don't get into often enough. I am sad about how some who claim to be Christians neglect a study of the Word of God.
That's right.
I personal study.
That's right.
Not what the pastor says, not what the deacon says, not what the one that comes to visit you says, but what the Bible says.
Amen.
And then the living Word. Turn with me now to John. The Gospel of John. You say, well, we know this. We hear it all the time. Well, you're going to hear it again. Okay? We begin with the very first verse. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. See, God said, and all things became. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He then were His own, and His own received Him not. But, aren't you glad for the Bible?
Yes, sir.
But, as many as received Him, to them gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We're born of God. Amen? We're born of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. So, the vision. You know what we need today, Larry? Mentioned in his prayer. You know what we need today? We need a vision of God bringing a great revival to a land lost and dying.
Yes.
The United States of America.
Amen.
You say, well, it's not that bad, preacher. Open your newspaper. Listen to the radio. Listen to the television broadcast. Look at the world. We need a vision, beloved. King Solomon makes a statement in his book of Proverbs that we who consider ourselves to be Christians ought to take seriously in the perilous days in which we live. I said the perilous days in which we live. Listen now to Solomon. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. I'm going to read just the first part of this verse to you, and then we're going to talk about it. I'll wait till the pages stop turning. Proverbs, by the way, is in the Old Testament. Now I say that, you'd be surprised how many people don't know where to find it. Isn't that sad? Where there is no vision, what happened? Say it. The people perish. Where there is no vision, no faith, the people perish. Well, okay. God's people must never lose the vision. What vision? This vision, beloved, that John saw. The vision, the same John that wrote about the Logos, wrote about on the Isle of Patmos in exile from the Roman Empire. I want you to turn with me to Revelations chapter 21, almost to the end of the Bible that began, and God said. John speaking, verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst a fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son.
Amen.
You got a vision? Can you see that? Can you picture that? Can you imagine that? Brand new. Without that vision, people, without that vision, men, women, boys and girls, black, white, yellow, and red, without that vision, people perish. Every single day. You see, my friends, that vision tells us, I'm talking about Christians. That vision tells us this. We win and Satan loses. Amen? That's what that vision tells us. Satan is done. He's gone. Amen?
Amen?
No more Satan. No more sin. I just wonder if we grasp the reality of this. With that vision, the safety of heaven and eternity with God is ours. With that vision, remember our Savior's promise that the very gates of hell will not prevail against his church. With that vision, nothing in this short life of ours on planet Earth can keep us from the peace that passes all understanding, the Apostle Paul informs the church at Philippi about. What then does it truly mean to hold fast to that vision? It means this, beloved. It means that the people of God will never perish. Amen? You're sitting there today, and you're a born-again Christian, you're not going to perish. You're going to die, sure. Unless Jesus comes back. If Jesus comes back while you're still alive, you'll just be raptured. But you're going to die. Of course you're going to die. Everybody dies. But, don't you see, with the exception of those few that are alive at Jesus' coming. But don't you see what it means? We'll never perish. We will never be destroyed. We have eternal life, just as Jesus told a preacher, mind you, what he had to do to have eternal life. This preacher didn't have a clue. Tell me the preacher's name. Who?
Nicodemus.
Yeah, the same John writes about it. And Jesus tells this rabbi, he says, let me tell you something, son. If you're not born again, you'll never understand the Torah, which is what they had then. You'll never understand what it's telling you. You'll never understand anything about my Father's kingdom. You'll never understand anything about me if you're not born again. And further, if you're not born again, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. And so Nicodemus asked him the question anybody with a mind would ask, how can I be born again? And Jesus said, except you're born of the Spirit, you can never enter the kingdom. Unless you've been born of the Holy Spirit of God, you can never enter the kingdom. Oh, I belong to the Baptist Church. You can never enter the kingdom if you haven't been born again. Oh, I tithe. You can never enter the kingdom unless you've been born again. You want, do you understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
Church membership means nothing if you haven't been born in the Spirit of God. Preaching, nothing if you haven't been born in the Spirit of God. Wow. Catch a vision. Amen. You know, the lost world, particularly in the days in which we now live, the lost world laughs and pokes fun at those of us who have had the Spirit. Today's neo-theologians tell us that most of the Old Testament is myth and folk tales and wishful thinking. Pray that the false preachers and false prophets that Jude and John and Peter warned us about, you know, they're still preaching and teaching. False prophets.
Oh, yeah.
They're still teaching. False prophets in pulpits all over America. No, the Virgin Birth, that's not there. No, the flood, some of the things we're going to talk about tonight. No, that's just medieval folklore, you know. All it is. Never happened. They teach their lies and they persuade the lost world that man is the keeper of his own soul. Excuse me. Jesus tells us to avoid them like plague. Avoid them like the plague. And not to even keep company with them. But he also tells us to witness to them and pray for them. Jesus told us to share our vision with all those who will listen and to follow him wherever he leads us. Just a few verses past our text verse is a wonderful summary of the life of vision we are to live. I'll read it to you. The fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Oh my, how true that is. Are you safe this morning? I know most of you now. I mean, I've been back here quite a while. Most of you have been coming fairly faithfully. But are you safe? You can be. Certainly can be. Just visualize the truth you find in God's Word and apply them to you and your life. By faith, believe God. Believe what He tells you in His Word. Believe what you hear when preachers of the Word preach the Word. Faith. Faith in what? Is it right to see how the truth always makes an unbroken symbol? The circle. The circle. The beginning and the end. And God said, and we have the creation we now live in. And you know what? God is going to speak once again. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Think about that. Isn't that amazing? eternity, no beginning, no end, Alpha, Omega, God. It's kind of like God himself. It's a vision based on faith and faith alone. Now, it's truth that goes on and on and on, like the Word of God. Like God's spoken word, and God's written word, and God's living word. I highly recommend that vision, so I'm going to talk up to you this morning. Because without it, you sitting here today, without it, if you are going to perish. I close this morning by quoting the closing words of Charles Haddon Spurgeon in one of his great messages that he preached some 150 years ago. These are the words of Spurgeon. My trust is not that I am holy, but that being unholy, Jesus is my righteousness. My faith does not rest on what I am, or what I will be, or what I feel, or what I know, but in who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus Christ has done and what Jesus Christ is doing for me right now. Isn't that great? I think that's great. I hope every person here this morning can say the same thing. If you can't, please talk with Pastor BJ, or to myself, or this morning to Larry, or to any one of our members, I believe, regular members, born again children of God. Talk to them about how you can say it. Because without that vision around this world today, every single day, people